Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
In Psalm 104, the psalmist encourages us to praise the Lord with all of our heart. But we are also aware that even our highest praise is not worthy of the glory and of the majesty of God. He is above all things, even our praise and worship. But how much more will we be ashamed if we only offer half-hearted and superficial praise and worship to Him? For it is God, the psalmist reminds us, who has created all things. It is He who has established the foundation of the earth. And it is He who has caused the waters of the flood to cover the earth in a deluge of judgment because of the sin of the people of this earth. And it is also Him who caused the waters of the flood to recede as He formed the mountains and the valleys that we see today. And perhaps even more critical to us, it is God who has set a boundary for the seas so that they will not cover the earth again. And what is the conclusion? What conclusion can we draw from all of this? Simply stated, we are in the hands of God. Just like Noah and his family understood all too well that they were in the hands of God. By His grace, He brought them through the waters of the flood. And in Genesis chapter 8, we find Noah and his family in the aftermath of that flood. The earth has been underwater for months and months, and they were still inside of the ark, not knowing really what was going on outside. And so it says, after 150 days, the rain stopped. The floodgates of the heavens were closed. And the springs of water deep within the earth ceased to bring forth a flood of water. Then God caused a strong wind to blow across the face of the earth, and so the water began to recede. It began to subside. But Noah and his family did not know that. They did not know what was going on outside of the ark. Was there still a flood of water covering the earth? And perhaps the other thought on their mind is, what kind of a world would they see when they did finally leave the ark? These were important questions that needed to be answered. So then it says in verse 6 of Genesis chapter 8, that it came about at the end of another 40 days that Noah opened wide the window of the ark. Halom in Hebrew. A window which he had made. An individual window, unlike the opening that was at the top edge of the ark that we read about in verse 16 of chapter 6. That is the word soher in Hebrew, an opening between the top of the ark and the roof, there for ventilation. This is a different kind of window. And so Noah looked out of that window, and he did not know if it was safe. He didn't know if it was wise to leave the ark. He needed some more information. So what did he do? says in verse 7 that he sent out a bird. He sent out a raven, a scavenger. If there was anything at all to eat out there, the raven would find it. And so it flew here, and it flew there, and it flew until the water was dried up from the earth. And some people have wondered if that raven ever returned to the ark. We really don't know. Perhaps it did, because its mate was still there. But that's not really the point. The point is this. In sending out that raven, the only news that it would bring back was that there was still death out there. Why? Ravens will eat anything. They will even eat decaying flesh. So Noah needed to know if there was life out there. So then it says in verse 8, he sent out another bird. He sent out a dove from him, yonah in Hebrew, a dove or a pigeon, to see if the water was abated from the face of the land. Was it going down? But it says in verse 9, the dove found no resting place, manoach in Hebrew. It found no place of safety, no place for the sole of her foot to rest. It could find no place to make a nest, find no food, no berries, no seed. So she returned to Noah. And she went into the ark, for the water was still on the surface of all of the earth. And Noah put out his hand, and he took her in and brought her into the ark to himself. So then what did he do? It says in verse 10, he waited. He waited yet another 7 days. And again, he sent out that dove from the ark for a second time. And the dove came back to him, it says in verse 11, towards the time of the evening, echrev in Hebrew, at twilight, as the sun was beginning to set. And what did he see? It says, behold, in her beak, in her mouth, was a freshly picked olive leaf, alech in Hebrew, an olive branch. So Noah knew that there was life out there. Without speaking a word, the dove brought back good news, as all of nature speaks without words and testifies to the glory of God. Now Noah knew that the water was abated, kalal in Hebrew, that it had become lighter, that there was less and less water on the earth. So then what did Noah do? It says Noah waited. Yahav in Hebrew. It's an interesting word that's used there in verse 12. It's a unique word. It says he waited in hope. He waited in expectation. He was confident that he was in the hands of God. He waited yet another 7 days. And then he sent the dove out again, for the third time. But this time she did not return to him again. She had found land. She had found food. She had found safety. She had found rest. Well, now it came about in the 630th first year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, in the life of Noah, about a year after the flood waters drowned the earth. The water, it says in verse 13, was dried up from the land. Haref in Hebrew. It was bone dry. It was completely dry. So then Noah removed the covering of the ark that was on the top of the ark. Mekseh in Hebrew. What kind of an ark was that? Cover was that? We don't know. It was some sort of a cover that was hiding the view. Noah couldn't see out. But then the cover was removed, so it says Noah looked into the distance, and behold, the surface of the ground was completely dried up. In the 601st year, in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, in the life of Noah, the earth was dry. It would appear that the judgment of God was over. But it is important to note this, that Noah did nothing. He did nothing until he heard from God. Something that we might be wise to follow. He just did not rush and open the door of the ark and leave. And so it says, then, in verse 15, then God spoke to Noah. He spoke to him perhaps for the first time since the time that he spoke to him when he told him to get into the ark over a year ago. And in verse 16, we are told that God said to him, go out of the ark, come forth, you and your wife and your sons and your sons' wives with you, and bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and animals, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly on the earth, and you too be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth the way that it was supposed to be in the beginning of creation. This was a new beginning. And we thank God, don't we, for new beginnings in our lives? This was a new beginning for all of mankind. And so it says in verse 18, Noah went out of the ark with his sons and with his wife and with his sons' wives. They were all with him, and it says, every wild beast and every creeping thing and every bird, everything that moves on the earth. They all went out, we are told in verse 19, by their families from the ark. Mispaha in Hebrew, according to their kind. And perhaps some of those animals had even given birth to offspring while they were in the ark. So they went out by their families. Then we're told in verse 20, the first thing that Noah did when he was on dry ground was to build an altar to the Lord. And so he took of every clean animal and of every clean bird, those that were suitable for sacrifice. And it says he offered them up as burnt offerings on that altar as an act of worship as an act of devotion, as an act of obedience to the Lord, but a burnt offering is more than that. It is a recognition. It is an acknowledgement of sin, of the need for forgiveness. A picture. It's a picture of Christ, who would become the perfect, sinless sacrifice to pay for our sin. It was a recognition and an acknowledgement that they deserve to die in that flood. But by the grace of God, they had survived the flood. And it says in verse 21, the Lord smelled the soothing aroma of those sacrifices. What does that mean? Well, it means he was pleased. He was pleased with their heart of worship. And so it says in verse 21, the Lord said to himself, I will never again curse the ground on account of man, as he did back in Genesis 3:17 when Adam and Eve sinned against him. But what had changed since then? Well, really, nothing had changed. So the Lord makes this observation in verse 21. He said, the intent, yatzer in Hebrew, the purpose, the desire in man's heart and in his mind is still evil. It is wicked. It is treacherous, even from his youth. Nehurim, in Hebrew, even early in his life. And so I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done while the earth remains, it says in verse 22. In seed time and in harvest, in cold and in heat, in summer and in winter, in day and in night, life on earth shall not cease. Shaveh in Hebrew. It shall not disappear until the day when there is no earth. The next worldwide judgment. The next catastrophic event that will come upon this earth will be the destruction of our planet by fire, we are told in 2 Peter 3:10. And then, it says, there will be a new earth, a new heaven, and all things will be restored and made new and complete. The question that we might ask ourselves today is, where will we be when that takes place? Many people are like that dove. They are looking for a place of rest. They're looking for a place of safety. But the only place of safety can be found in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.